the rules and pass H.R. 1644 as amended, on which the yeas and nays are ordered. Clerk, report the title of the bill.
H.R. 1644, a bill to enhance sanctions with respect to transactions related to North Korea and for other purposes.
Good evening. I'm Nomi Cons. This is Jimmy Dore.
Hello, everybody.
Those were the Democrats singing, hey, 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 goodbye to the Republicans as they voted to repeal Obamacare in Congress today. There were 20 Republicans who voted against it. One was a Freedom Caucus member named Andy Biggs from Arizona, because it didn't go far enough. And then there were 19 centrists who decided to actually represent their districts. Be courageous. They didn't want to lose their jobs, maybe. They decided that they were going to vote against it. Of course, the House passed to repeal Obamacare. And we have so much to unpack here. There's
okay,
a lot.
Okay, I'm ready to start unpacking it, and then we'll come to our conclusions.
All right. So, you know, the Democrats were singing that, you know, essentially that they're going to be out of their jobs because they voted against to repeal Obamacare. But what I find fascinating about this is that when the lawmakers were being interviewed, several Republican lawmakers were being interviewed about this, they couldn't answer the specifics about the bill. They couldn't answer what was in the bill. They couldn't, some admitted not to reading it. How much did it cost?
Right.
Because they didn't go to the CBO to get it an estimate.
Right.
When all of those were their arguments.
Against Obamacare.
Against Obamacare. So let's play a clip of Paul Ryan in 2009 talking about Obamacare.
You wrote recently in an op-ed in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin Journal on July 18th, before members even had time to read the 1,000-page bill, it already has cleared two major House committees and is set to be fast-tracked through Congress in the days and weeks ahead. Those members of Congress who voted for this bill already in their committees did so without knowing what the legislation cost. Before it's too late, let's take a closer look. And you know this issue's been around for a long time. Are Republicans being genuine in their complaint that this is moving too quickly?
Well, yes, I don't think we should pass bills that we haven't read, that we don't know what they cost. I mean, I don't think that's being effusive.
So let us pass this bill to take the next step to put Obamacare behind us. That is what is at stake today. And that is why I am going to be so proud to cast my vote for this legislation. And I urge all of my colleagues to do the same.
That was Paul Ryan today, 8 years later. Contradicting himself, of course, when it's convenient for his own political agenda. My favorite part is that, you know, they are talking about how this bill that they're presenting, the counter offer to Obamacare, is going to save consumers money.
Yes, because now you won't have to worry about paying for medicine or anything. You'll just won't get it.
You'll just die.
Yeah, you'll just die. So that's going to save you a lot of money. And then you can take those monies you saved through this bill and you can put it into your funeral.
Which is also very expensive.
I mean, those are expensive too. So they're helping people. This is a free market approach. We're going to see nicer funerals.
Nicer funerals.
That's what's going to be. So here's the thing, right? So if you remember Obamacare when it passed, the next election, those Democrats got hammered who helped pass the Obamacare, right? So now if the Democrats are worth their salt, which they are not, because they proved they just lost the most winnable race in the history of our country. They just lost it and they are wiped out at every level of government. Why? Because they're also Republicans. There's no point for the Democrats to exist right now. The reason why this is happening is because when the Democrats had complete control of government, they passed a right-wing bullshit corporate giveaway healthcare plan, which is what this is. Instead of passing what they should have passed, which was single payer Medicare for all. That would never get repealed, just like Social Security is never getting repealed. Those are that's the most popular health insurance program in the nation is Medicare. So if the Democrats would have did what Democrats were supposed to do and passed Medicare for all in 2009, they would, by the way, Barack Obama would be on Mount Rushmore right now. And they would have a complete control of government. But instead, they passed a right-wing healthcare plan with zero cost controls. They got it stuck in their teeth. They got it stuck in their ass is what I wanted to say, the next election, and now they're wiped out. They lost 1,000 seats in state houses. They lost two-thirds of the governorship. They are wiped out. Nobody in the Congress, nobody in the Senate, and they just lost to Donnie Tynahans. But if they would have did what Democrats are supposed to do, what Harry Truman said we should have done, what everybody has always been championing until this frickin' last election as a Democrat, which is single-payer health care, if they would have done that, we wouldn't be having this today. Nobody would be losing their health care today because they wouldn't be able to repeal single-payer Medicare for all health care. But because the Democrats are so corrupted and so in bed with Big Pharma and the health insurance and Wall Street, now we're getting Obamacare repealed, which is just a right-wing health care plan anyway. Don't forget that. So we would have, by the way, which we would have had, this is their version of Obamacare, by the way, which is a little shittier version of Obamacare.
Exactly.
And so now it's up to the Democrats to make them pay the price politically for this, right? And take back over government. I predict the Democrats will not be able to do it.
Well, they already said it today. Nancy Pelosi was asked straight up, are you going to present single payer? Are you going to add in the public option? Are you going to bring some nope, I'm not going to do an alternative. It's not politically feasible, she says. But I recall in 2009 hearing this incrementalism talk. No, this is one step and we're going to move in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, now Justice Democrats has been a big part of this. There are quite a few Democrats out there calling for single payer Medicare for all. Nancy Pelosi is not one of them. Why do you think she doesn't want to go for an alternative? When the Republicans present something this horrendous, wouldn't you present an alternative to get people excited, to get people on board, to go campaign for you in these primaries?
Well, I'm gonna guess. It's the reason why they're wiped out. It's the reason why we have Donald Trump as president. The reason is because Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership is in bed with Wall Street, Big Pharma, the military-industrial complex, the fossil fuels, and Silicon Valley. Exactly the people who they're supposed to be fighting against, the people they're supposed to be regulating in favor of their constituencies. You cannot be in bed with Wall Street and serve workers. The Wall Street Street's agenda is to screw over American workers, take the good jobs here, turn them into low-paying jobs, and send them to poor people in more desperate situations in other poorer countries. That's what Wall Street's agenda is. So you cannot serve Wall Street and you cannot serve workers at the same time. That's why Nancy Pelosi won't go for single payer, because the donor class isn't for single payer. Why wouldn't you be for single payer when the majority of Americans are for it? Why isn't the public option in this bill in the first place when the Democrats had complete, because the donors don't want it. That's why. And that's why Nancy Pelosi has got to go.
That's why all of these guys have got to go. But their talking points aren't working either. I mean, these are corporate talking points that they, you know, their lobbyists work with them and they're tested. They're not working anymore. You know, they're being caught in these lies, both the Democrats and the Republicans. The Congressional Budget Office, let's put that on screen, reported in March that the original GOP health care bill would reduce the deficit by more than $300 billion over a decade. But lawmakers have made several major costly changes to the bill since then and are not seeking an updated score. So 8 years ago, if this kind of thing happened, I don't think people would be paying attention. People are paying attention right now.
You mean about a CBO score?
Yes.
No, you are correct.
I didn't even know what the CBO was 8 years ago.
You are correct about that also. Yes, this is good. You are, that is a right. People are now paying attention. The corporate Democrats are now on notice. Nancy Pelosi still doesn't get it, because when you jam $100 million in your ear, it's hard to hear your constituents over the clamor of the Benjamins rolling around in your ear hole. That's the problem with Nancy Pelosi. That's the problem with Chuck Schumer. There's no problem with progressives. The progressive agenda is the most popular agenda in the country right now. Bernie Sanders is about 20 percentage points more popular than Elizabeth Warren, who's also a progressive. So the two most popular politicians in the whole goddamn country are progressives. You know who's not popular? Corporatists, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Donnie Tynahans, and the entire Republican Congress. Mm-hmm. Not popular. Watch the Democrats not know how to capitalize on this. Go ahead and nominate more corporatists. Watch Nancy Pelosi say, no, we're not. We're going to keep doing Romney Care. That's what she wants to do. I want to replace Trump Care with Romney Care. And you wonder why You wonder why the Democrats are wiped out. You wonder why they're, this is why they're wiped out. And they have, talk about a tin ear. That is a tin ear, ladies and gentlemen. And so what people are left with again is, oh, we have a shitty corporate right-wing plan from the Democrats or a shittier right-wing corporate plan from the Republicans. And they think that's going to win them elections. They got another thing coming.
You know, and it's interesting you say that because she, Nancy Pelosi later went on to say in this quote when she was asked on the floor, oh, we should leave it up to the states. I'm sorry.
She sounds like a Republican.
There are seven states right now. six states, should be seven. We'll get to that story later. That are controlled by Democrats, meaning the House, however the states are made up, the state houses and the governorships. So somehow we're going to pass transformative, sweeping Medicare for all when we barely control seats at the state level because the Democratic Party was funneling all this money up to the top,
right,
not sending it to the states, not recruiting candidates, not organizing, not training, not making any changes, because they needed to make money at the consultant level, at the national level, so they could go out there and recruit candidates who could raise a lot of money, not get elected. And that's why we're in this situation.
Okay.
We have been hijacked. This party, the party of workers, has been hijacked by Republicans. It's not even corporatists. It's Republicans. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
You don't deflect your responsibility as a leader in Congress, the Democratic leader in Congress, to the state level when you know very well there is no power at the state level right now. This is ridiculous. 24 million people will possibly lose their health insurance. You have women who can't access mammograms. Planned Parenthood is now going to be defunded. Nancy Pelosi, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Planned Parenthood is going to be defunded across the country. If you've been raped, I'm sorry. That's a pre-existing condition. So try not to get raped. Try not to be too rapey. Because if you get a little rapey, you're not going to be able to access health care. That's what we're dealing with right now.
So I'll make a little prediction that we will see single payer, I'm going to say, inside a decade. And why is that? Well, because Charles Krauthammer, of all people, last week came out in favor of single payer. He's not in favor of it. He's in favor of acknowledging the reality that it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he said. He said, because of all this Obamacare talk, people now know what single payer means. That's what he says. It's now universal coverage has to be part of everyone's plan. Already, Charles Krauthammer, there's nobody farther right than Charles Krauthammer, he's already saying that. He's saying that it is inevitable that single payer is coming. By the way, it's overwhelmingly popular with the American people. So now that if we don't get it, now we know we're living in a completely corrupt country, the kind of country we used to make fun of. Now we become that kind of country. Now we have less economic mobility. Now we have more pollution. Now we have half the country who's poor in poverty and the richest country in the world. What do you call a system? What do you call that when you take the richest country the face of the earth has ever seen and you render half the people who live there poor in poverty? You call that a failed system. And Nancy Pelosi has no problem with that system because when she was asked about it, about capitalism versus socialism, she was just like, we're capitalists and that's it. And no introspection, no nothing. No, she doesn't feel the pain of anybody. When you, by the way, Nancy Pelosi, which I appreciate, every day she gets her hair blown out. She goes to the hair blown place, right? Which is fantastic, right? I don't think you can feel people's pain. That's all I'm saying. When you're worth $100 million you do the kind of things and you hang out with the kind of people Nancy Pelosi does and you say the kind of stupid crap you say when people are hurting and begging at the top of their lungs at town halls for you to endorse single payer, which everyone knows is the Democratic ideal, which everyone knows is the most efficient healthcare plan, which everyone knows is already the most popular. The only reason you would not go along with your constituents and actually put in place the plan that would actually help people, you would, because you want the donors to be happier than you want your constituents to be happier. You would rather please your donors and keep the status quo going than actually help people. And that's why we're primarying Nancy Pelosi.
You know, this is the type of thing that so many people in the Democratic Party got into politics for. They wanted, so many people have individual stories about their family members not, including Republicans, not having access to health care at important moments, not being able to afford critical care. And it really does affect everybody unless you have that kind of wealth that insulates yourself from the tragedies
Correct.
Of life, including Barack Obama.
Including.
You know, he shared the story of his mother not being able, having cancer, not being able to she couldn't access the health care that she needed. And so, you know, Obamacare, not perfect. We know that. And I think we were willing to concede 8 years ago because we thought that there were those people like Nancy Pelosi, who was very important in that fight for Obamacare. She was. She wrangled the votes that she needed, even though we controlled both branches. But we weren't facing the opposition we have today. And at these moments, when you're staring in the face of fascism, and you're, there are elections today where we have another important ally who faces fascism. What do? We just sit there? We just sit there and say, no, we're not going to fight because it's not politically feasible? It's not politically feasible because fascists are controlling our government. What are you supposed to do in the face of fascism? Just sit there and take your donor checks and leave it to the states that you don't control? Absolutely not. 24 million people are potentially going to lose their health care. That doesn't even mention those who don't have access to it right now. We're very emotional about this. I think our audience is very emotional about this right now. There are journalists who are emotional about this. It is, it's egregious. I mean, there was an article that I just saw posted about, this is my favorite, the irony of this, and this is exactly how Washington works. There's a provision in this new bill, which we're still learning about, finding out what's inside of it, that protects congressmen.
Uh-huh.
With pre-existing conditions. I wonder who lobbied for that one last minute after hearing all these Republican congressmen step up and say, you know, we need to cover pre-existing conditions, not just because, you know, it's politically opportunistic for them to do so, but it's also personally affecting them. Of course, congressmen have very good health care for life. If you've been unseated, you have that health care for life in Congress. So they know how important this is, and of course, they wrote it in for themselves.
So when do the Trump voters start to realize that they're chumps? When does that happen? Now, you know that I feel very comfortable saying that about Trump voters because I don't disparage Trump voters. I understand that we needed to smash the establishment. But you also realize that he is a complete charlatan. And I ripped the Democrats probably harder than I ripped the Republicans. So that's why I feel okay saying this right now. This isn't partisan. Right, that it's you have to be as blind as a bat to not see that Trump is a complete charlatan, and he will blow whatever which way the wind is blowing, he's going to go that way. But rest assured that whatever he does, it's not going to help you. Whatever he does is not going to be there to help you. Yeah, he got rid of the TPP, but the TPP was already dead. Barack Obama couldn't pass it anyway.
Right.
It was already gone. So what has he really done to help you? He just cut $1 trillion in taxes from the richest MFers in the whole country so he could take your health care away. Mm. And people go, you want to have Medicare for all? Who's going to pay for that? He just gave $1 trillion tax break. That's who could pay for it. We have the money. The people in this country have the money. You know, when you get wealthy off the system, you're supposed to give back to the system. They're not doing it anymore. So that's why they got rid of the estate tax. That's why now you can send your money offshore and Trump's going to let them bring it back in for no tax. So this is what Trump does, right? So if you think Trump was actually going to help the little guy, you're a chump. If you were just wishing on a prayer that he might have, then you're not a chump, because that's what everybody, I think most of the people, thought he was a charlatan.
Right.
But now it's revealed that the hope that he wouldn't be who he presented to be is over. He is who he presented to be. He's a billionaire who doesn't give a shit about you, and he's going to screw you at every turn. He already took away, he's getting rid of your net neutrality. Mm-hmm. Now they can sell your browsing to corporations. You have no privacy whatsoever. He didn't get rid of the surveillance state. He sold it to corporate America. He started bombing Syria. He's not a non-interventionist. He's intervening more than Barack Obama did. So everything Trump said he was is now revealing that he's the opposite. Now, I'm not saying that we should put in another corporate Democrat. I'm saying the exact opposite. We should put in someone like Bernie Sanders. Now it's time to have a revolution in the country. People are sick and tired of the establishment. That's why Trump's there in the first place. He's not the problem. He's the symptom.
Yep.
This is a symptom of the problem. What's happening today is a symptom. The problem was we didn't pass single payer in 2009 when we had complete control, filibuster-proof control of the Senate. That's the problem. And the symptom is Trump. This is another symptom. When Democrats and lefties get control of government, they govern like right-wing corporatists. That's the problem. And if you think it's going away because Trump is such an incompetent, it's not going away. Tom Perez and Chelsea Clinton, and they're all waiting to implement more neoliberalism. They're still trying to make Bernie Sanders. He's not a Democrat anymore. Yeah. They're still Ms. Magazine still writing articles about how he's, they wish he was dead. So the most popular politician in the country, who all he wants to do is bring health care and get money out of politics so we can actually have a democracy again that responds to the people. And those are the people shitting on him. So it's time for a revolution. And if it doesn't come, things are going to get even worse.
You know, I love that you said that, because Hillary Clinton today announced that they're going to be starting a new organization to help with the resistance. And she said she was part of the resistance. Maybe this is a little controversial. I'm not part of the resistance. I don't want a resistance. I want a revolution. You can't just resist.
Nice.
You have to revolt. You have to actually, and this is something that Cenk says a lot, that you need a revolution. You can't just resist everything. You actually have to have answers. It's great to be the opposition party, but if you don't have answers, those voters have nowhere to go, and that's how you got Trump. Mm-hmm. When you don't talk about economics, when you don't actually fight for the workers, when you don't fight for education, and you're all about charter schools, you have a population, a base population, that does not have access to the information that they need because they're not going to good schools, because you're not fighting for them. And then that's when you have populations that vote for these charlatans. Now, I predict that a lot of these people, an evolution of the Tea Party, they're going to get incredibly frustrated, and I think they're going to come to our side. It's already happening. You saw it with Bernie Sanders in the election. I have a Republican uncle who told me a few weeks ago that if he could have voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary, he would have voted for Bernie Sanders in the primaries. This is somebody I've debated my entire life, and that was the moment where I said to myself, there's something happening here, and if the Democrats don't seize this opportunity, we will cease to exist, and the fascists will take over. But I will say one thing. Senator Schumer, who, as corporate as he is, he knows when the political wind is blowing in a certain direction.
He does do that.
And I'll give him that. If you can change your votes because you know it's not popular to be a corporatist, I'll give you that.
Okay.
So he said, let's put the slide up, what he said to the Republican colleagues today. To my moderate Republican colleagues in the House, I ask, why would you risk a yes vote for a bill that is devastating to your constituents and has virtually a minuscule chance, probably no chance, of becoming a law? And that is because of the filibuster. Now, do we expect Senator Schumer to be fighting with some other option with Senator Sanders?
So the problem with they could push this bill through on reconciliation, but technically they're not supposed to be able to because it raises the deficit, because it cuts money out of health care. So it depends on, of course, I'm sure they're going to cheat and do it that way anyway. So Chuck Schumer, so I hope that they can filibuster it. And if they try to do, I mean, this bill goes against everything the Republicans have claimed to be upset about. They promised that any bill they passed would have 3 days. Uh-huh. You'd have 3 days the public would look at it. They just passed a bill. Nobody's even read the bill. In fact, we can't even read it. It hasn't even been made public yet. So there's that right there. There's that problem. So I hope that they can do that. And if you take people's health care away, the only thing dumber than that as a political party would be to nominate Hillary Clinton.
Well, I encourage all these Republicans who are going to be angry at their party to come and join our protests. Maybe you'll stop calling them riots for once.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back with more bad Democrats, because they're all over and they need to be called out. Be back. Welcome back to Young Turks. I'm Nomi Const with Jimmy Dore. So I've been working on a story you guys all know, and thank you for contributing to my salary as an investigative reporter for TYT. I've been working on a story for the past couple of months. If you haven't seen it, you can go to TYT Politics on the YouTube channel or find my playlist. It's about New York State, because something special is happening in New York State right now. New York State should be one of the 7 states that is democratically controlled, meaning the state houses and the governor, the state senate and the legislature and the governor are all Democrats. So they should be passing sweeping progressive legislation. That's what voters voted for. Except New York's also a tricky place. There's some political games happening, and 8 Democrats and another Democrat who is not part of this conference, they decided to split off, join the Republicans as elected Democrats from Democratic districts, overwhelmingly Democratic districts. And they are working with the Republicans. They are committee chairs in the Republican, in caucusing with them, essentially. And they form this thing called the Independent Democratic Conference. And what does that do? That prevents the state Senate from being controlled by Democrats, which means that you can't pass a whole lot of progressive legislation. I'm going to show a quick clip of what's going on in New York.
All IDC members voted for the DREAM Act. All IDC members. To vote with everyone else, that's an easy thing to do. To stand up and say, here I am, and I represent my constituents, and as a Latino male, the first Dominican, to the Senate from our district, you have a responsibility, and you have not met it.
Wow, good for that guy, right in his face.
Right in his face. So that was Senator Peralta, who recently joined the IDC. The IDC has been around for about 7 or 8 years at this point, but it's been growing in size. So that the it's very difficult for the Democrats to remain control, though there's some special elections and a lot of these folks will be primaried. But that's what's so great is that you have a very excited population of voters now who are engaged and showing up at these town halls, and they weren't before. A lot of folks didn't even know what it was. And now they're paying attention. People say, well, what is it? Why do they want to be part of this conference if they know they're going to get primaried? Well, they get bigger offices. They get perks. They're staffers. They have their own staffers. Their staffers, like their communications person, makes $126,000 a year. And she's not working for the Senate Democrats. She's working for the IDC. They get to introduce bills. They get pork, so money to bring back to their districts. It's a crazy situation. And you wonder, well, why doesn't Governor Cuomo, the Democratic governor who leads the party, why doesn't he intervene? Turns out he likes the IDC. We've been talking about this a little bit. What are your thoughts?
So when an IDC Democrat makes a pro-corporate move, screws over the Democrats, caucuses with the Republicans, and does something that hurts working people, the reason they're doing that isn't because of an ideology. They're doing that. That vote is a down payment on a job when they lose. That's what that is. So, you know, we have a revolving door in government and business and the people they're supposed to be regulating, and that's the problem. So that's what they're doing. You know, I'll just... Tom Daschle used to be considered a liberal, and he was the leader of the Democrats in the Senate. And then he lost his race. And when they were trying to pass Obamacare, he came back to town in a limousine with $2 million in his pocket. And he didn't have to say anything except walk around and let everybody know, I got $2 million from the healthcare industry. If you pass Obamacare without a public option, you're going to get $2 million too. So that's why the IDC Democrats do what they do. This isn't about ideology. If they really felt that way, they'd run as a Republican. Yep. But they don't run as Republicans, right? Because they are now a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? So that just like all the corporate Democrats. So that's why I think the IDC Democrats are doing that. And best guess what? People are catching on. And why are people catching on, Nomi? Because people's lives are shitty. Mm-hmm. That's why people are catching on. People have to make a decision over going to buy their medicine or send their kid to school or their kids under a mountain of debt just because they want to get educated so they can get a decent job in the first place. That's why people are catching on, because they're feeling the pain and they're starting to pay attention to the corporatists who have been selling them out since Bill Clinton got elected in 1992.
Yep. And some of the legislation that could be passed if the Senate were controlled by Democrats as the voters voted, single payer would have been passed. Actual free college tuition.
In New York City, they would have passed single payer?
Single payer.
I mean, New York State?
Yes, it was being proposed. It's crazy.
And where's Mario Cuomo come down on the single payer?
Andrew Cuomo?
I'm sorry, Andrew Cuomo.
Mario Cuomo's a little bit more progressive, yes. And he's dead. I'll get to that in a second.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
It's fascinating how it all turns into a PR move for him. You would have had actual free college tuition, not this watered down version that they just passed. You would have had codified Roe v. Wade. So you think about the world we're in today, where every There's so many rights that are under attack right now by Donald Trump. And if New York State, the beacon for progress, is what they like to, you know, the Excelsior state, they're the progressive state. If they could actually codify Roe v. Wade, then we'd have Planned Parenthood in New York, regardless of what happens at the federal level, regardless of the budget cuts. And that stuff would all be in the New York budget. But because the Democrats are not controlling the Senate, you get watered down versions of bills, if you even get them, that are championed as progressive. But when you look at the details, you're like, oh, no, this is progressive washing. Because Governor Cuomo wants to control the narrative. And so he's been criticized extensively for working with the IDC. The head of the IDC is this guy, Jeff Klein. He's the one on the right, and Cuomo's on the left in the picture back there. And he's worked with him over the years because he knows that if he controls what legislation is actually passed, it's basically triangulating. So that he can continue to raise money. One of the things that they didn't pass is ethics reform in New York. Mm. New York has the weakest campaign finance laws in the country. But if the Senate was controlled by Democrats, as it should be, you'd have ethics reform, we'd have tighter campaign finance laws. But who benefits from that? The Republicans, of course, the IDC, of course, and Governor Cuomo, who has intentions to run for president. And he's sitting on a coffer of like $20 million because he's raising money without this ethics reform.
So, Andrew Cuomo is he's the latest version of corporate Democrat, right? So he's very much like Cory Booker in a sense, where he presents as a very progressive guy. He like to present. They know all the words. They pay fealty to democracy, but then they get in bed with hedge fund managers and private people who want to privatize education and everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. And Wall Street, of course. So. This is great that you're on this story. I can't believe this doesn't get more coverage. Well, I can believe it doesn't get more coverage in the corporate media because the corporate media is on the IDC side, right? They don't want to expose it. And I wonder how MSNBC has covered this. I can't stomach to watch the goddamn channel anymore.
Actually, it's crazy to me because MSNBC does talk about local politics from Kansas. Rachel Maddow goes on these rants about some random district that has, you know, a clause in their city council. And then I sit there, I'm like, New York State, Governor Cuomo could be one of seven states that is controlled by Democrats. It's the largest state in the union, and you're ignoring what's happening. So I and also don't forget, CNN, his brother's on CNN. There's a bunch of contributors on CNN
right.
who have worked for Governor Cuomo or do work with Governor Cuomo. I mean, it's all a big family. So he, you know, used to be that Governor Cuomo would pretend that he wasn't really aligned with the IDC. Now he just doesn't care. He says, and this is the sixth quote, it's like a marriage. If it works for you, it works. I really don't need to judge your marriage.
Oh,
and then,
boy.
And then.
What mealy mouth bullshit that is.
Then he says, this was in talking about the education for all that he had passed or put into his budget.
Oh, that thing that he pretended was free college for everybody, but it turns out it will probably only give free college to like 5% of the people,
yeah.
right?
Like 10,000 people that could already afford.
That, right.
And by the way, doesn't take advantage of room and board, all the other benefits. If you have to work.
Right.
There's a million different clauses to it.
Right.
So he says, this was a great, great progressive accomplishment that I think is right and makes sense for everyone. But it's passed by the Senate, and I don't believe it would have been passed if it wasn't for the help of the IDC. So he has gone out there and praised the IDC. He's been criticized because he controls the Democratic Party, meaning he controls the funds of the Democratic Party, and he wasn't using that money to support Democratic Senate candidates who are supposed to be his partners.
Wow.
How is this man going to run for president in the world that we're in today? How is he going to be the anti-Trump?
I have a feeling I know how. I think that John Ralston will say his opponent through chairs. Then Rachel Maddow will bring John Ralston on. They'll say his opponent's violent, probably sexist, probably maybe even a racist or whatever. They'll repeat that shit at CNN because his brother works over there. And that's how Andrew Cuomo will become president, because our mainstream corporate media, especially on the left, will let us down once again and will probably kneecap the progressive who tries to run against him. That's how Andrew Cuomo is going to win.
So when you start to look at the allegiances, because this is super important for 2020, in my opinion, I think that he is, he's not only going to run for re-election in 2018, and hopefully there'll be a great primary challenger, maybe somebody who's been in opposition to Cuomo consistently, progressive, that would be wonderful, right? But he's also getting ready for his 2020 race. He hired a bunch of former Obama campaign communication specialists on the government's dime to work in his office. So he is using his position of power to create a shadow campaign, in my opinion, within the government. So he can put out, you know, press releases and go across the country on tours and raise money for the Democratic Party that he's not giving to anybody else in the state. He's using his position to set up his presidential run. But there's one side of this that hasn't been reported out. The IDC is almost entirely funded by the real estate industry, which is a big thing in New York, and charter schools. And Governor Cuomo has a very strong history with charter schools.
Yes,
which,
he does.
Shocker, not very popular right now at this time. Let's play a clip of Governor Cuomo in 2014.
They say it's cold out here, but I don't feel cold. I feel hot. I feel fired up. We are going to save charter schools, and you're making it happen by being here today. You are braving the cold to stand up for your rights, and Senator Skelos is exactly right. This is the most important civic lesson you will learn. Because this is democracy, and this is how you make your voice heard. Albany is an industry town, and the industry is government and the government programs. And education is treated like an industry. But what you're saying today is it's not an industry, and we have to change that culture. Because education is not about the districts and not about the pensions and not about the unions and not about the lobbyists and not about the PR firms. Education is about the students, and the students come first.
Not about the unions.
Not about the unions, and it got a big cheer. Because you know what undermines education? Teachers with a salary, with a good salary and benefits. You know when education really takes place? When teachers are worried about being fired at the drop of a hat. That's when people are really on their game, when they're worried about their job and they have to kiss up to special interests and make and do politics behind the scene with their, and they have no union. That's when education really takes place. And let me tell you something else, Andrew Cuomo. Everybody's catching on now that charter schools are a bunch of bullshit. They're just another corporatization of a public service that shouldn't happen. Because as we know now, the data is in.
Yep.
Charter schools perform no better or worse.
Worse.
Did you know 4 out of 5 charter schools perform no better or worse than the other public schools in their district? And guess what? They don't have to have teacher unions. They get to pick their students. They have all kind of restrictions that the regular schools don't have, and they still don't perform better than the regular public schools. Turns out, putting profit into education isn't a good idea.
Right. And let's not forget who funds charter schools. It's the hedge funders. So everything comes back to Wall Street. In a state like New York State, Andrew Cuomo is obviously protecting the interests there, as well as the Republican Party and the IDC. The IDC wants to be able to function, so they're willing to take money from wherever they can get it. But when you start to match up who's donating to whom, there's an alignment between Governor Cuomo and the IDC, and dare I even say it, and the Republicans. So when we talk about the Republicans taking over, hijacking the Democratic Party, I am looking at you, Governor Cuomo, because this is absolutely ridiculous that in a state that should be overwhelmingly progressive, that has more Democratic members than ever before, that has more people of color who are seeking leaders to represent their districts, when the income inequality is so vast that you would use your position as a governor, which, by the way, we haven't even mentioned, he ran on an anti-corruption campaign when he first ran. And he set up this thing called the Moreland Commission, which was to investigate corruption. But I kid you not, as soon as the Moreland Commission started to look into his office, he shut it down.
Oh, that's right.
And Preet Bharara, the former U.S. attorney that was fired by
Trump,
was looking into this. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at Preet Bharara's tweets, it's great because he's always talking about Cuomo. Look around Governor Cuomo's office. A lot of his chief aides have been indicted, are going to jail. I wonder what would have happened if that had continued. So when they say things like the IDC is aligned with the Trump Republicans, I wonder where Governor Cuomo falls in that mix. Because he's no friend of Preet Bharara's. He seems to be taking money from the Betsy DeVos world.
Yes.
Who is this man? And is he going to run for president under the Democratic line? He controls the Democratic Party, won't support Democrats? Who is this man? This isn't triangulation anymore. This is a whole other level of Republican corporate takeover of the Workers' Party.
And so what are the other Democrats saying in New York about him? Like, what are the, you know, regular, I'm not talking about voters, I'm talking about regular mainstream Democrat politicians.
Well, there's, you know, there's definitely some frustration in the Senate. I think the New York State Democrats, the Senate Democrats and the Assembly have come out in recent months on attack. You know, Assemblyman Michael Blake, who, you know, he's not dealing with the IDC, but he's supporting the actions against the IDC. He's a vice chair of the Democratic Party. He was just elected as a vice chair. He's from the Bronx. He was quoted today, you know, questioning why Governor Cuomo would essentially align with the IDC. You have this is another factor. So the state Senate Democrats would be controlled. The party, the Senate would be led by a woman of color, which has never happened in history. But it isn't. Because of the IDC, and partially because the guy who's running the IDC wanted to be the Senate Majority Leader. So the minority leader, or the Democratic leader, is Andrea Stewart-Cousins, who's a senator. She's been actively fighting back against Cuomo. There's also the Deputy Minority Leader, Senator Janaris. They're all being interviewed. I've interviewed them in my reporting. You can see that on TYT Politics. But there is a real grassroots movement. The elected Democrats are not really aligned with Governor Cuomo. You have the New York City lawmakers who are coming out. Congressmen are coming out in opposition to Cuomo. So I'm not sure how there's going to be this perfect storm of support that he needs when he runs for president. But my guess is he's thinking so far in advance that by the time there's one candidate who has more money than anybody else, and there's Trump, they're just going to support him like they did with Hillary Clinton.
That's what he's hoping that people are so sick of Trump and want, oh, so we're going to, oh, Bob, thank God, we'll go with you. And you won't make the mistake of not going to Michigan this time. So you'll win the popular vote and the thing. And okay, because the Democrats have been doing so. You know, part of Hillary Clinton's colossal failure and all the people around her who are some of the dumbest people in politics, Neera Tanden, Robbie Mook, you can't even beat the most winnable race in the world. That's how dumb they are, right? They're such a bubble, right? I mean, I'm sure their SAT scores are high, but that has nothing to do with real intelligence and how to make things work, right? Obviously, you guys can't even beat Donald Trump, obviously.
You had
to cheat to beat a guy with zero name recognition and no corporate money. You had to cheat to beat him, and then you lost to Donnie Tanahans. That's what losers they are. We got to get rid of them, right?
And David Axelrod called him out a couple of days ago.
I love it.
He said, how is it that you were even if Russia and Comey and all these other factors and Bernie Sanders affected the election, it should have never been that close. You had the most sophisticated campaign operation. So if we were to prevent what happened, this catastrophe that happened last year, not to mention the 1,000 seats, and we're looking at the man who was closest to being that person, Andrew Cuomo, if we're paying attention right now, I hope that we continue to pay attention and push back and support these Democratic elected officials who are fighting back and amplify their voices because they haven't been getting the attention that they need.
Well, there's a whole new media out there now, right? So you're out there, Jordan's out there, I'm out there, Kyle Kalinske's out there, Cenk Uygur now is out there. So David Sirota is out there. The Intercept is out there. People are paying attention. There's brand new Congress. There's Justice Democrats. There's Draft Bernie. There's all these progressive organizations that have woken up now. So no, guys like Cory Booker aren't going to be able to pass a bill that screws over his people anymore. Just like Andrew Cuomo is going to get called out. So yeah, this idea of triangulation, which he's trying to do, and the reason why they keep doing this is because Bill Clinton won.
Right.
That's the only reason. And by the way, don't forget, Bill Clinton never got a majority of the vote. Keep that in mind. Bill Clinton never got a majority of the vote. So that's why they keep going back to the Clinton playbook, because it won. And so did Barack Obama. But Barack Obama was neoliberalism in the sexiest dress it ever had, right? That's what Barack Obama does, because he put a pretty face on neoliberalism, and Hillary Clinton put not so pretty of a face on it. People were able to see through her. She didn't have the gift of the gab. In fact, the more she talked, the more people disliked her. The opposite of what normal politicians, the more they talk, the more you like them. Opposite with Hillary Clinton. So I don't think Andrew Cuomo is going to get away with this. In fact, it's going to be fun watching him try.
Well, you know, that's up to us. to make sure. It's up to reporters to continue to report and shed light on this. And there's some great New York reporters who've been paying attention to this. So I'm going to continue to cover this. And it's up to you guys, obviously, to engage. This is what's so important about this moment is you know, you invest in me and then you invest in the stories, and then you're part of the story. So I thank you all. We're going to go to a quick break and wrap it up with more stuff that Trump's done and the French election. Well, hello, we're back. That's some great music.
I was dancing to it a little bit.
You were dancing to it?
I want to remind people, June 10th, I'm going to be in Chicago doing a live Jimmy Dore show. Nomi may be there if she doesn't, you know.
I'll be in Chicago for the People's Summit. Then I just have to figure out how to get to your thing.
There's a Lyft. I'm sure there's a Lyft in Chicago that will get you there.
There probably is, yeah.
So, June 10th, go to JimmyDoreComedy.com. Check out all the live dates we do. We do two in L.A. every month. We're going to San Francisco, San Diego, Boston, Chicago. June 10th. I'll see you in Chicago. June 10th. Go to JimmyDoreComedy.com for tickets.
I also want to make a little announcement because I've had some people ask me on Twitter. The Democratic Unity Commission starts tomorrow. The Unity Reform Commission that is going to be discussing the reforms of the Democratic Party.
It starts tomorrow?
It starts tomorrow.
And you're on that, right?
I am. Taking a red eye tonight.
Can I ask you some awkward questions about it?
Sure. I mean, I don't know if I have any answers yet.
Okay.
But yeah, go ahead. I mean, I'm not covering it. Let me just make that very clear because I'm on it. But it's a public event, so, you know, show up.
What do you think the progressives will have to give up for unity?
I don't know if there's anything that we're giving up. I think that most of us are the Bernie Sanders wing is coming forward with a bunch of recommendations.
Because they've already voted to keep taking corporate lobbyist money.
Right.
So that would be one of the things for me to get behind, to donate again to the Democratic Party, or it'd have to be that.
Right.
So I won't donate now because of that.
I mean, listen, I think that if we want to reform the party, it's not just about not taking corporate money, obviously. It's about ending conflicts of interest. You know, they're talking about how they want to raise more money, expand the party, find more, you know, smaller donations, expand the donor pool. And I'm like, how about you make the budget transparent so we know where the money is being spent on these consultants that are not doing their jobs well?
Is it not transparent now?
No, it hasn't been. It's great. Really fascinating things you learn when you cover the DNC race.
I look forward to hopefully you can get that stuff done because that's the kind of, I don't know if they realize how disaffected progressives are. I mean, they lost to Trump. You'd think that would wake them up. It didn't.
Right.
And in fact, they went further right. Isn't that weird?
I don't know if they want to win. I'm serious. We're going to be exploring this. It's an 8-month process. Starts tomorrow. I think it's on the DNC website now. So it's in Washington, D.C. Tomorrow it starts at 2 and then it's again on Saturday, and I'm assuming they'll live stream it. But there's going to be several of these events. Stay tuned.
I'll just say one thing before you move on. Then this is a fact that the corporate Democrats and the DNC would rather lose to Donny Tanahan's Trump than win with a progressive. And that is a fact. Their first order of business is to torpedo the agenda of the worker. And that's exactly what they did when they got rid of Bernie Sanders. And they had to cheat to do it and smeared him in the press to do it. The most progressive politician we've had in my lifetime. And that's what they did to a progressive. And, you know, Mort Saul said it's not going to be the right wing that's going to be the problem for Bernie Sanders. It's going to be the Democratic media. And he was right.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of money to be made when you're running candidates who can raise a lot of money from corporations. Speaking of a new world order, because that's what's happening right now.
Speak of it.
There is an election in France between Marine Le Pen, the extreme far-right candidate, the Trump of France, and Emmanuel Macron, who's a centrist, a 39-year-old centrist, was just endorsed by Barack Obama today, former President Barack Obama. Let's put up on the screen what Le Pen stands for of the National Front. She is a high-profile figure in the race internationally. Le Pen is expected to lead the party her father founded, who, strangely enough, does not get along with, in 1972, to one of its best election results. Le Pen, who's 48, has struggled to move the National Front past its far-right core, but she has seen new support from young voters and female voters. Her policies include pulling out of the euro currency and major restrictions on immigration and free movement across borders. So, you know, we only have a couple minutes, but we'll find out tonight what happens. If she wins, how does that shake up the world?
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know that. I guess Brexit didn't really set in yet. And, you know, the left, it's another corporatist, right? And the people aren't going to support that. As my friend Dave Anthony tweeted out, pardon my French, when people,
no pun.
When it said that people won't support he said, well, looks like people are done being fucked in the ass by the banks.
Yeah.
And that's what that is. So if she wins, that's what that is.
And the reason
that's the failure of neoliberalism. If she wins, that's what this is. And it's nothing else. That is what Brexit is also. So people want to keep pretending that Trump is because of racism and Brexit is racism. It's not. Go ahead.
Final note, just what's fascinating to me is that there were so many people in the race that the two major parties didn't make it into the runoff, which is the Republicans and the Socialists. So normally the far left does win in these situations, but the votes were all split up. So again, the struggle comes down to neoliberalism, fascism. What fights fascism? It's not neoliberalism. We know that. Moral of the story today, you can only fight fascism with real economic liberal populism. All right, guys, thanks
for watching. You can't chase out darkness with more darkness. You can only chase out darkness with light. And neoliberalism is more darkness.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Hour two is next. I'm Nomi Khan, Jimmy Dore.
See you on Aggressive Progressive tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Round two. More of this.
More of this.
I'm going to go take a nap and then come back. Thanks.
All right, great.